Thanks, Brenda. I had to ask Brenda if it's my turn, because usually my parent Tim tells me, okay, you're on. I guess the first thing I want to do is ask Lisa, when you said how appropriate, was that like towards Travis or towards Rachel? You guys are... I know, kind of a different song for Mother's Day. I'll get to that in a little bit, why I asked Brenda and Deb to do that particular song. We're going to get to that in a little bit here. It's amazing. Patty put together the little skit with the ladies up front, and so you guys are going to get some more of that later on, but nothing that they said is repeated in my sermon, and we didn't know that at the time. So, but before we start, anybody else have anything for me? Okay. I can't see a thing. Anthony requested that everybody type in 70-point type, but okay. These are letters I asked some of your kids. And listen, when we talk about Mother's Day, we tend to think about those of us that have teens or young kids and even babies. But we have moms in here that have grown kids who have grown kids who have grown kids. And so this day is for all you guys. And so I asked some people to write things to their parents. And so, Sabrina, I'm going to start with yours, hon. Dear Mom, you are the best mom I could ask for. You always have the answer. You will cuddle me when I'm sad. You will make me laugh. I don't think I would be able to survive this hectic world without you. Life can be a journey where we all stumble and fall. But Mom, I know you will never let me down. Mom, never leave me. I wish I could go to meet your mom, because she raised a good mother. You are beautiful and kind, and you never let me stop believing. I love you so much, Mom. Love, Sabrina. This is from Caroline. Caroline, you have great handwriting, girl. Dear Mom, see, it's kind of one of these things down here, I can barely read it, but if I put my glasses on, so. This is from Caroline. Dear Mom, I want to thank you for all that you've done. Everything I have become is because of you. You push me to be the best version of myself every day. But if I'm not the best version of myself, you love me anyways. You always find a way to make things work or let me just be a kid and have fun. On top of all of this, you take care of everything I need. You do my laundry, feed me, take care of me, and make everything run a little smoother. Thank you so much for going out of your way on a daily basis for me and your family. I'm not sure where I would be without you, and I'm so thankful for everything you've done, even though I don't always show it. I'm glad God chose you to be my mom. You've taught me how to love God and rely on Him through good times and bad times. Thank you for everything you've done. I love you, Caroline. You guys are awesome. And by the way, Caroline just preached my sermon for me, so we can all go home now. I'll read the rest of the letters and then we're done. It's from Rachel. Good thing I turned it over. From Rachel Allen. Thank you so much for being my biggest role model and supporter. Thank you for always driving me to all those long dance rehearsals and cheer practices. But most of all, thank you for all the hard work you do for our family. I know I could be a drama queen, but I still love you no matter what. Love, your favorite child, Rachel. I'm guessing Travis is going to have some words for his sister later. From Allison Bash. Oh, sorry, I keep forgetting I can't look down with this thing. Mom, you push me to be the greatest version of me. You may not know it, but I wouldn't be the person I am today without your guidance. I know I can always come to you with anything, even if it's just the gossip. I love you, and I am so thankful for everything that you do for me. Love, Allison. This is from Alexis. Back to the glasses. Alexis, you have nice handwriting too, girl. To start off, I just want to thank you for everything you have always done. You're best at making me who I am. I'd like to say that you've done a pretty good job. I'm lucky I got your attitude, your looks, and many other things. You always help me see when I have done something wrong and help me not make the same mistakes. But you're always there for the good things, and it makes me happy to see you when you are proud of me. You're absolutely beautiful inside and out. It's always great to hear that I am a mini you. Thank you for raising me to be like you. Not only are you a great mom to me and my siblings, but you're a great mom to our friends too. I know they are very thankful for you and everything you have done for them as well. Not trying to be cliche, but you are the best mom anyone could ask for. Love, Alexis. That's awesome. This is from Julia Liggett. Sorry. For Jane Hutchinson from Julia. For those of you that know my mom and have spent time at her home, you know she's the best at making all that pass through her door feel welcome. That is the blessing I have had my entire life. My mom has provided me a place that I have always felt loved, accepted, encouraged, special, and successful. At home with my mom, she taught me to enjoy everyday moments. So many memories of my mom are laughing in the kitchen around the table or just while doing chores. You guys can move to my house and laugh all you want and while you're doing chores. I can never thank my mom enough for creating a home full of love that she shared with all those that I brought into our lives. I thank God for giving me the best mom for me, and I feel blessed to share her with all of you. I love you, Mom. Julia. For Phyllis Liggett from David. The greatest gift my mom gave me was prayer. While my dad worked two jobs throughout my entire childhood, my mom raised me. I was constantly causing her to go to her knees in prayer and praise God. Praise God, he answered her prayers. I was constantly running the roads and woods on my motorcycle with God protecting me. By the end of high school, I rode two trucks without any injury. God protected me. I've continued to see God's protection in my life as I had many accidents while working, where God protected me from more serious injury. No matter the day or my activities, I am blessed to know that my mom is praying for me and God answers her prayers. Thank you, Mom, for giving me the greatest gift, your faith in God. David Liggett. That's awesome, Dave. That's my sermon. We're done. From my daughter, Caitlin. Dear Mom, thank you for teaching me to be polite and kind to others. Thank you for being there when I need you the most, whether it's a scratch on my knee or when I need to vent. Most importantly, thank you for traveling across the world to come and rescue me. I love you, Caitlin. This is from you know who, so Mom should know this. Happy Mother's Day. To me, Mom is the M in Mom is for magnificent because she always puts us first and takes great care of us. Next is the O, which I think stands for outstanding because she never gives up on me when I'm grumpy or disobedient. The T in Mother stands for tender because when I am hurt or sad, she will talk with me and help me feel better. After the T is the H. This stands for honorable because she always makes people happy. The E stands for extraordinary because she always puts God first. And when we don't understand something in the Bible or if we are hurt, she will help us and pray with us. Lastly, there is the R. The R stands for remarkable because she is a beautiful Christian lady and the best mom ever. I love you so much from you know who. Another anonymous. Thank you so much, Mom, for putting so much time and effort into raising us in a loving, Christ-centered home. You have taught me so much over the years, most importantly, how to walk with Christ and live my life for Him. You have shown me through example how to live selflessly and see others' needs before my own. I know we aren't always easy to put up with, but you continue to do it every single day. I am so blessed to have a mom like you who not only loves me, but more importantly, loves Jesus. I love you to the moon and back. okay, can I tell him who wrote this just because of the start, okay? I asked Anthony. He said it's okay. So this is for me, Anthony. And Anthony starts it like this. What were you thinking, you crazy mom? Dear mom, mother, madre, I was going to transcribe you a poem, but I didn't want to develop another rhyme. I didn't lead anyone awry like Jeroboam, but this time I will tell you a story. I call it, What Were You Thinking, You Crazy Mom? This is my own type of poem with just a smidge of creativity. This is how the poem of my story goes. This is great, Anthony. It was a long time ago, a time I can't even remember. I started off slow. I was the size of an ember. Just a big toe the size of a nose. I was born in November. You loved me forever since the day we met. You always seem to be clever. Whatever. You never stopped loving, even when I would spew nasty milk. You were always hugging my baby face silk. You were mother. You would accept nothing other. You accept the challenge. Putting up with the nasties, you kept it classy. You raised me upright, even though I was gassy. No one ever expressed what you mean. No one can ever express what you mean. Your job doesn't even pay for the daily food, which raising me, you need a lot. Never say it enough. Never showed appreciation for all the marshmallow fluff. You love me even when it got rough. I love you, Mom. You did a good job. I never say that enough. But if I did, it would become a semantic citation. What is that word? It means more than just three words. It has a deeper meaning. Here, let me explain. I. It is the ninth letter in the alphabet, a number that represents harmony. It is the Roman numeral one because it comes from a single source, your firstborn child. Love, agape, an unconditional love, a love that can only come from God. It's an unselfish act that only comes from above. You. A term used to describe the person I'm talking to. That is my mom, my mother, my madre. I love you, Mom. Love, Anthony. Great job, you guys. I have another one here someplace. It was sent anonymously. Here we go. Love the title of the poem, by the way, Anthony. This is my favorite. I get... I'm a more emotional person than people think, and so when I read this one really touched me. It says, Dear Mom, thank you so much for taking us to a church with such an outstanding pastor. Your cooking isn't great, but it's made all the better by spending Sunday mornings listening to our pastor. Actually, one of the moms wrote it. Mother's Day 2017. It's great to see you guys here, and I'm proud of you guys. It's a fairly short sermon because we had a lot going on. When Megan got all that baptismal, she turned to me and she said, thank you. And we're going to get more to that later on and how important that is and what it means to be a mom and how great you guys have done as moms and dads, but today we're celebrating moms. So I'm going to start by telling you guys a story. A guy, his name is Edward, he went on a safari and he took his wife and his mother-in-law with him and on an African safari. And so in the middle of the night, the mom gets up and she realizes that her mom's not there, his mother-in-law, and she says, you need to come and help me. My mom's missing. And so Edward and his wife go out and they're looking for his mother-in-law and they are working through the African plain and they come to a frightening sight, and it's the mother-in-law, and she's backed up against a tree, and there's a lion facing her. And the mom says to her husband, what are we going to do? And the husband says, absolutely nothing. The lion got himself into this mess, and he can get himself out. Mother's Day is the busiest day of the year for restaurants. It is the third largest card-sending holiday. 1/4 of all the flowers sent in flower shops for the entire year are sent on Mother's Day. It is the number one day for phone calls made in America. Mother's Day ranks only behind Christmas and Easter as the most attended church days. The youngest mother ever was 5 years old. The oldest in modern times was 65 years old. The biggest gap between a mom's first child and a mom's last child was 41 years. Anna Jarvis is credited with starting Mother's Day in 1914. Anna had no children of her own, but she wanted to start a day that would honor her mom. The actual start of Mother's Day came several years before that. It was proposed by a lady named Julia Ward. Julia Ward wrote a little song we call the Battle Hymn of the Republic. That's why I had you guys sing that today. It was written by the lady who started Mother's Day. It would be the last letter that Paul would write, at least as far as we have written down in the Bible. He's in a Roman prison and he's awaiting execution. Nero is the governor. Nero was not the nicest guy in the world. Nero hated Christians. They would take the skins off of animals and they would wrap Christians in the animal skins and they would have wild dogs tear the Christians apart. He would dress Christians in pitch. Pitch is the stuff, it's like a mixture of hay and straw and tar and stuff, and very flammable. And he would wrap Christians in pitch and he would put them on poles and he would set them on fire to light his parties. This is where Paul finds himself. He knew all of this. And he's sitting in a Roman prison, not for the first time. He's sitting in Nero's jail, and from here he wrote 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy's a sad letter. It's not sad because Paul knows he's going to die at any moment, so they could call him up and execute him. It's sad because in this letter you will see that Paul is completely alone. All his so-called Christian friends have deserted him, except Luke. So Paul writes a letter to Timothy, and twice in this letter he urges Timothy to come quickly. Come and see me. I'm really lonely. I could use a friend. He was cold in prison. He asked Timothy, when you come, winter's coming quickly, so please bring me a coat so I could stay warm in this dark, lonely prison cell. But that wasn't the only reason Paul wrote this final letter to Timothy. See, he needed someone. Paul knows he's going to die, and Paul needs someone to carry on the work of the church. See, Paul wasn't a pastor himself. Picture Paul as being like Billy Graham. He was the Billy Graham of his day. He needed somebody to watch over the churches and make sure that the truth was being taught in the churches. And so he sends this letter to Timothy. He needed somebody he knew was up to the challenge, somebody who wouldn't cower when the pressure was turned up, somebody that wouldn't shrink under persecution. He needed somebody he knew would be bold. And so he sends this letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:2 in the NIV. I know, right? Hey, he could come up. We might as well get him preaching early with a name like that. 2 Timothy 4:2 in the NIV. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The final letter of Paul, 2 Timothy, gives 17 warnings about false teachers that have arisen in the church and are teaching things that aren't true about the scriptures and leading people astray. 17. And Paul challenges Timothy here, and he says, look, here's the thing, Timothy. You preach that book right there when it's convenient, and you preach that book right there when it's not convenient. You preach that word all the time. You don't back down from it. You don't shrink from it. You don't cower from it. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You preach the truth. That's what he's saying in this verse. If it's convenient, if it's not convenient. So how did Paul know that Timothy was the one? How did he know that Timothy was the right person to turn over the entire church to? And listen, if you don't think that's what's going on here, I'm going to read you some verses because that's what's going on. Timothy is the one to carry on the tradition of the church, and we're here today because of Timothy's faithfulness. And we're going to see that today. Timothy was an interesting person. Timothy had a Jewish mom and a Gentile dad. Gentiles are just non-Jews. Acts 16:1 in the NIV. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was Greek. Now we learn two things here. Timothy's a disciple, which means he's already following Christ, and that his mom was one of the first Jewish converts to Christianity. Paul met Timothy on his second missionary journey, and he liked what he saw in the young man. Paul asked Timothy to join him as he spread the gospel around the world, which Timothy will do. Acts 16:3 and 4, NIV. So Paul wanted him to join them on their journey, this being Paul and Luke and Barnabas and Silas. So he asked Timothy to join them. Then they went from town to town, instructing the believers to follow the decisions made by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So Paul handpicks Timothy. Timothy's traveling around the world. They're spreading the gospel. Philippians 2:22, NIV. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. So Timothy's traveled with Paul, and he's proved himself useful to Paul, and he's Paul's handpicked person to carry on the ministry that was begun with Christ. What in the world does all this have to do with Mother's Day? It turns out there's a reason that Paul first came to Timothy and chose Timothy. And that reason had nothing to do with Timothy himself. See, it had to do with Timothy's mom and Timothy's grandmother. 2 Timothy 1:5 in the NIV. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. You see why he picked Timothy? See, Paul had met Timothy's mom and grandma on his first missionary journey, and they were so spirit-filled, and they loved Jesus so much that Paul knew, surely these women have passed that down to their son Timothy. And that's what drew Paul to Timothy. It wasn't anything Timothy did. Is what his mom did. The church grew and spread through the continued work of this young man. 2 Timothy 2:2 in the New Living Translation. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Did this go off? Did it? It's on now. 2 Timothy 2:2, New Living Translation. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will then pass them on to others. See? Jesus, the disciples, Paul, Timothy, us. Timothy's the one who continued the tradition of Paul after Paul died. And it all started with his mom. The church we have today came through Timothy, and then countless other believers who gave their lives to spread the gospel. And it all started because a mom and her daughter passed on their faith to the daughter's son, a boy named Timothy. See, moms, dads, your kids will do great things in this world, but you have to instill that in them. It doesn't just happen. You have to raise your kids and nurture your kids and encourage your kids and comfort your kids and sometimes push them out of their comfort zones. But they're going to do great things if you let them. This is how important moms are to their children. See, when they go out into the world, the people they are depends on you, mom. Now, this is just an aside for our senior high BYF. The name of our group is 412 or 412 Youth Group. It comes from Paul's writings to Timothy. And this is how we know Timothy was a young man when Paul called him. 1 Timothy 4:12. Any of you guys want to stand up and recite it? Where's Abby? She probably would. Anthony, you know it? I know you know it. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Listen, guys, I spend a lot of time, and you guys know this, I love you guys. I don't care if you're 5 months or 95 years old. I love you guys just the same. But you know I spend a lot of time talking about your kids. This is why. This is what the Bible says. Listen, kids, you be an example to the believers in this church of how a Christian's supposed to act. That's what it says. Quotes about moms. From Milton Berle. Some of you guys know who that is. Some of you guys are young. If evolution really was true, how come moms only have two hands? Dorothy on the Golden Girls. Anybody watch the Golden Girls? Used to love that show. Dorothy on the Golden Girls. It's not easy being a mother. If it was easy, fathers would do it. Scott Maxwell. No matter how old a mother is, she watches her middle-aged children for signs of improvement. From a greeting card. Rachel must have read this one. I love how we don't even need to say out loud that I'm your favorite child. Eve is called in the scriptures the mother of all who live. The word live here translates as M. M means to prepare one for departure. It's a hard thing about being a parent, isn't it? Your whole job as a parent is to raise your children so that they can leave you. That's our job as parents. And some of you are finding out you have seniors and they're going to be going out and things are going to change and it gets hard. But that's your job as a parent, guys. That's what the word means, mother, to prepare one for departure. And what is she preparing them? How is she doing that? Is she teaching them math and science and reading and driving and computers and piano? And is that what we're talking about here? Joshua 1:8, NIV. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, that you will be prosperous and successful. The word mother is used 218 times in the Old Testament. Here's what the Bible is saying. If you want your kids to be successful, listen, all that other stuff's great. It's important to a point. You want your kids to be successful, you teach them what that book says. Listen, it doesn't matter. My kid went to Yale, so what? My kid made the NFL, so what? My kid's a doctor, so what? Listen, they're all going to die one day. We're all going to die one day. And when that day comes, none of that stuff matters. That's what matters. Do they know Jesus Christ or not? That's what God says you are to instruct your kids in the wisdom that comes from the Bible. Things I have learned from my children, by moms across the country. The fire department in Austin has a 5-minute response time. The spin cycle of the washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy. It will, however, make cats dizzy. Cats throw up twice their body weight when they're dizzy. No matter how much Jell-O you put in a swimming pool, you still cannot walk on water. Pool filters do not like Jell-O. Motherhood has been described as a scientific experiment to prove that humans do not need sleep. Things kids have learned from their moms. Religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. Time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into next week. The circle of life. I bought you into this world and I can take you out. It's a Tuesday. A celebration is going on. It's a wedding. And Jesus' mom is there, and Jesus and his disciples are at this wedding. Now, this is an important thing because this shows us a side of Jesus that we often overlook or we don't like to acknowledge for some reason. Jesus was a fun guy. Jesus wasn't a stick in the mud. Jesus was welcome at parties and big events like this. And here's Jesus and his disciples, and they're at this reception, and they're having a good old time. Jesus is dancing and having fun. Mike, you want to come up and show him how Jesus probably walked into this party? So Jesus is having a good time. His disciples are having a good time. They're at this wedding. The party was really big, and it went on for a long time, longer than expected. And you guys know the story. Mary was either Jesus' mom was either a close friend of the family, or she was embarrassed for the newlyweds. Because there was a real faux pas. It was really bad if you're at a wedding reception and they ran out of wine. That was a big no-no in this culture. And so there's only two encounters. There's only two face-to-face encounters between Jesus and Mary in the Bible. This is one of them. We pick up the story in John 2:3, New American Standard. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Now note here, she doesn't come to Jesus and say, "Listen, I know you have unlimited powers. How about you fix this situation?" She doesn't even ask him to do anything about it. She doesn't say, "Hey, you think maybe you can help us out here a little bit?" She simply comes to him and says, "They have no wine." She knows he's a pretty bright guy. He'll figure it out for himself. John 2:4, English Standard Version. And Jesus said to her, "Woman," this is very important, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Notice that Jesus doesn't call her mom or mother here. He obviously respects her because he fulfills what he knows she's asking. But see, the relationship between mom and son has changed here. See, this is where Jesus says, "Mom, you've done your job. You've raised me right. And I'm no longer your responsibility." The relationship has changed at this point. Mary then turns to the servants and she says, "Do whatever he tells you to do." This is further evidence that Mary must be close with the parents because the servants listen to what she says. There's only one other story in the Bible about Jesus and Mary being face to face. The first time at the above wedding, he shows that he is no longer her responsibility. In the last meeting, he shows that mom is now his responsibility. John 19:25-27, English Standard Version. "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved," that would be John, "standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.'" He points to John. Then he says to the disciple, John, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Jesus would speak just 5 more words as a human. "I thirst, and it is finished." The final act of our Lord was to make sure his mom was taken care of. You see, at the wedding, Jesus said, "I'm no longer your responsibility, mom." And on the cross, Jesus showed, "Now you're my responsibility." Things moms will never say. Just leave all the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery. "Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week." Well, if Timmy's mom says it's okay, that's good enough for me. The curfew is just a general time to shoot for. I'm not running a prison around here. I don't have a tissue with me. Just go ahead and use your sleeve. Moms and dads, God didn't just give us kids, leave us to our own devices. See, the Bible is a book full of wisdom on how to raise kids. I know. That's what they're saying. Is this ever going to end? But I think this is the most important thing, parenting advice that the Bible gives us. And this isn't a request from God. This is a command from God. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. New Living Translation. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. God to Moses, Moses to the Israelites. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, the most important thing you can do for your children is to teach them what that book says. That's the most important thing. Okay, other stuff is important. How to drive, how to balance a checkbook, how to handle relationships. Listen, the most important thing you can teach your children is that book right there. It's a God's words, not mine. Listen, I guarantee you this. I guarantee you this. If you teach your children what's in this book, you will not have to worry about them. You're not going to have to worry about them when they go out into the world. You're not going to have to worry if they become responsible adults. You teach them what God says, and they're going to live their lives accordingly. And they're going to make you proud. I guarantee you that. The other thing is this. You can go ahead. The other thing is this, guys. Not only are you to teach it to them, parents, grandparents, step-parents. Listen, not only are you to teach them, you're to live your life as if that book is the most important thing in the world. Because listen, young parents, okay? Jesse's not in here. Ansley, Luke, listen. They're going to pay attention to what you say, but they're going to pay a lot more attention to what you do. And that's how your kids become adults. By watching you and growing up to emulate you. Some of you guys wrote about being a mini-me, Alexis. That's true. They say guys marry their moms and girls marry their dads. There's a reason for that. Because they look up to you guys. They respect you guys. They may not always show that, and they may not even be aware of that. But that's what happens. Moms and dads too, the only legacy that counts is in that book. Those of you in this room, listen, you guys have done that. Your kids are the most amazing young people I have ever been around in my life, and I mean that with all my heart. And you guys know me, I'm a big goof, and I like to be around kids, and I've been around a lot of kids. Listen, parents, grandparents, you guys done did good. Your kids are one of the great treasures of my life. And it's because of the way you raise them. Listen, your kids, I know kids can be kids at home. We're not always happy with what comes out of their mouth. But let me tell you, as I've gotten to know your kids, they are kind, they are honest, they are sweet, they are caring, they are loving, they are compassionate. You know what all those things, you know where all those things come from? They're the things Jesus said that people will know you're his followers if you exhibit those fruits of the Spirit. Listen, your kids exhibit all those things, moms. You've raised them right. You guys have done a tremendous job. Brayden got up, and his mom didn't have to ask him. He just got up and got her tissues when she was crying, and Aubrey and Dixie did the same. And it's because you raised your kids right. Moms, you should be very proud of yourselves, and dads too. Your kids are absolutely amazing. Moms, the best thing I could say is Happy Mother's Day. Well done.
Amen.
Right. Thank you.